November the 2nd, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Trumpets blown, the body will tell of our deeds. The Quran Surah 36, Ayat 51, on that day trumpets will be blown. You are not this body. You are expressing yourself. You are not this physical. You are not that. You are what is being expressed in that. You are what is using this instrument. So this is your instrument. Your body is your instrument. You are what is using that instrument. So God created you spiritual, and he gave you the body as your instrument and as your servant. The body is made to be your servant and your instrument. So that is what it is to you. But you can't really express yourself without your body, as a musician can't express his without his instrument. You can't express yourself without your instrument. That is your human body. And it says, on that day will blow. What is the trumpet? Your whole body is the trumpet that will be blowing. It will be your human body that will be blowing. And it will be sending off warning. It will be your soul, your breath of life, sending warnings through your trumpet, your human body, to the world. Quran says, and on that day, the trumpets will be blowing, and they will rise at once, all at once, a single blast of the trumpet, and they all will be standing up. So man's spiritual association. So I hope I'm giving you some understanding on your true origin, self, and how that is what that is where you must return. After we have gone from the physical world that God created us to live in, express ourselves in our flesh and blood bodies, we engage the material world with our intelligence, with our intellect, our rational tools, and we form material structures, huts, houses, mansions, pathways, roadways, highways, expressways, go from the donkey to automobiles, trucks, ships, airplanes, and rockets. The Quran Surah 37, Ayah 10, still a heavenly fire. So we are told that a certain one in Greek mythology stole the heavenly fire. We still have fire as a symbol of learning in the institutions of education, college, and universities. So they are familiar with the symbol of fire. I believe even now they use the magic lamp or lantern with the fire coming up as a symbol of higher learning, higher knowledge. So this fire that we are talking about is higher knowledge on the subject of life, human life. Human life has always made man curious and has mystified the ignorant people. So man's struggle has been for understanding. He has struggled to understand his life. Man wants to understand his life. And the struggle was made fruitful by the concept of God as creator and as the infinite being who is not creation and is not limited or contained in creation, but who has reached the extent everywhere. He can reach us here. He can reach us in our souls. He can reach us beyond the sun, the moon, the stars, because his reach, as scripture tells us, extends beyond everything. The Quran Surah 37, Ayah 10, who steals a hearing pursued by fire? He is going to come at you in your weakness from the left and from the right and from the front and from the rear. He is going to come at you attacking you in your own personal weaknesses, not in the revelation. God closed revelation against him. God sealed him out of that. This closed him out of that. He can't come in the revelation anymore, but now he comes into your life to fish into your weaknesses, flesh, and find the weakness in your life. And then he can exploit those weaknesses for the world he wants to make. He exploits your weaknesses to create the world or to contribute to the world he wants to make. That's the Satan, always competing with God and God's prophets and God's messengers and competing to take man on the course he would prefer him to be on, to prove that man is not worthy of being responsible for the great role that God put him in and created him for. That is a big disappointment for Satan. He created and accepted that. So he is out to prove that man can't carry that responsibility. So since he can't, as the Bible says, he would ascend up into the highest height and present himself on the throne as God in God's stead. He will put himself up there as God in God's place, or in the place of God. Satan will do that. So this is addressing where God says, before you used to steal a hearing, but no more. You come up here to steal a hearing, now you will find shooting bolts of fire ready to take you down. So that's Al-Islam, the Quran. And the Quran sealed him out, cut him out of the heavens. He was rejected before, put out of the heaven. The Quran came again, sealed him so he could not get into heaven. He could not really get into the heaven, but not represent himself to people as a being in the heavens representing the heaven. Satan presented as God in most religions. So a lot of people don't know the God that they have in their religion is not God, it is Satan. They don't know it. Satan has slipped into there, and he got right into there, and they think they're looking at God. They are not looking at God, they don't see the real Satan. They see him as an angel representing God. He's powerful, but with the Quran, brother, he is weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fight the schemes of Satan. Satan, for his schemes are weak, not before, only after Quran has his schemes are weak, because the Quran manifests him, reveals him so plainly. And the Bible says that he will be undressed. And he will be trying to cover his head, and his feet will show, because the clothes that he would have left with be too short to cover him up altogether. It says, and when he tries to cover his head, his feet will show. If he tries to cover his feet, his head will show. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has happened. The Quran Surah 37, Ayah 10, whoever tries to steal a hearing is pursued, except such as snatch away something by stealer, and they are pursued by a flaming fire of piercing brightness. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there were those who used to listen to get a hearing into the heavens. And with the coming of the Quran, circumstances for them had changed, and it was very difficult for them to listen into the heavens. If they did it, they would be bombarded with fire, shooting at them. So when the truth comes and removes falsehood, which happened with the revelation of the Quran, if they pry into that truth to get its heavenly light, to use it, the truth is so plain and so clear that the torture wouldn't be worth the effort. He would have rather that he didn't steal it, because he would run into so much that burned him up so badly that he regretted that he went into it. The Quran, if you go into it and you are not right, it will certainly tear you up. It will break you down. It will burn you up. And you will wish that you had not gone into it. Before, if you are right in it, and such a relief to know, this world is not confusing, not the world that God made. And it is so beautiful and wonderful as he made it. The way we see reality has been formed for us by people who gave us their communications and said it was from God. They did it so cleverly. They fixed it so that they could interpret it themselves to justify it and support the way of God if they interpreted it themselves. But they are the only ones who could interpret it, because they are the ones who formed it and locked it up against the cunning minds of common person. So if the common person reads it, it is very, very dangerous, and it will take the person away from the right perception of God, creation, and include God himself. And every incorrectly communicates the presence of God, I say person, as an entity or soul. God refers himself as a nefs, and nefs means psyche and soul translated. The Quran Surah 37, Ayah 10, whoever seeks to steal a hearing is pleated. Isaiah 14:29. Rejoice not, Palestine. Isaiah 14:13-14. Lucifer sought seat in heaven. Mephistopheles stole the heavenly fire. Greek religion forces on Adam, focus on Adam, to have a great republic. From psychoanalysis, clinical psychology, and all of this have all developed in time. And where did they get it? From God. Did this happen for the first time in Western civilization? No. The Greeks said Prometheus. A rebel amongst the elite stole fire from heaven. And this world wants us to think the Greeks were philosophers. They were not religious. They didn't believe in God. That's a lie. They had strong, great religion. And they focused on Adam and his original pattern. And that's how they were able to form a great republic and guide their descendants from Europe to science and psychology and all the other great benefits they had. But they lost that. They went to sleep and lost all of that And it was the Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon them, that reawakened their minds and showed them how they were to even perceive or understand their ancient knowledge. And it caused them to have a revival. And that is what we are seeing right now in their world now. They're having a great revival. It would not have been possible for them if it was not for the coming of the Quran and the life of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as the leader of mankind. For Memphis had stole the heavenly fire. That means he disagreed with those who were agreeing to keep it in accord with the best nature that God made. And he used it as a tool, an instrument for taking over the life of human beings. He wanted to become their master and God. Isn't that what the scripture said, the Bible said, that would happen on the world? This is not true for us. I'm going in the Bible. So the Bible says, rejoice not, O Palestine, for out of a serpent root shall come a flying cockatrice. And later it says, the old serpent became a flaming serpent. And it also says that Lucifer, that fell from heaven, he aspired to rise up in the air and bring the things that are connected, I bring them to you right away. It says he will rise up upon the air. What is the air? Isn't the air his airplane? No. Although he did that too. He didn't do it, but his scientists in the West, under his influence, his spell, they were able to be scientific and got an airplane up there, and they are flying. In fact, they are moving about in space that has no air, in airless space. They just shoot straight to airless space and land on the moon. It says he will rise upon the air, become a prince of the air, not this air, your spirit, human spirit. He will rise upon human spirit. After he remakes your spirit, reforms your spirit, then he knows how to ride the spirit that he made. He will rise upon that spirit and ascend above your head. And he will work on you from afar, controlling you from a space station in your soul. But he's not through. The Bible says his aim is to go up high enough so he will reach the throne and the very seat of God and sit on it, performing as though he is God. That is what has happened. He has taken over the abstract life. That is the most precious. Our most precious life is not our flesh, bones, and all this physical stuff. Our most precious life is our conscience and how our intelligence develops inside of it. That is the most precious life. And if he can take over our psyche, our intelligent activity in our soul, and manage without our knowing that he has infiltrated, or he has evaded our own life and has taken over or control, our control. He has us thinking that we are controlling our life and controlling the original hand of the original man. This is the reality we have to deal with. This is the reality we have to face. When we read in Quran, let us get the light and the help that God has revealed for dealing with this thing and defeating it in our life, in our family, in our community. So we have the light and the power to defeat it in our life, in our family life, and in our community life. We have it. It is as plain as day. We can defeat it. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayat 11. Creation bigger than mind of man. So if you use your good common sense, science tells us that there is no matter evolved higher than intelligent human life. Maybe out there somewhere, but they haven't found it, or it hasn't found us yet. If you use your own good common sense now, if the highest form of creation is the human being, then where would God be more than anywhere else in the human being? He is in the human being more than he is anywhere else. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for his special work, and never think that our creation or our existence is bigger than the universe. It is not. It is very small in comparison to the universe. Isn't that the head very small in comparison to the body? And isn't the head brought life with the body and taken to death with the body? So the head can't save the body from death, and the head can't bring life. The whole body comes by God's will. That is why we should never think of any great thing that we achieve or any great power we exercise as ours. It is God. The body belongs to God. He created this. It is his body. He created this himself. It is solely his. Nobody else has a patent on it. So when your head comes out and becomes conscious that you are in control of the body, remember that you have permission to be in control of this body. You have been assigned a responsibility over this body. Really, you have been assigned a responsibility over this body, but really this body is a bigger creation than your mind, believe me. And if you don't respect it, it will take over. You respect the will of God for the body, it will leave it with you. But if you ignore the will of God for the body will take over. You will not be ahead on the body anymore. Angels keep universal order and bow to God's will in man. Body created to fulfill all human aspirations. A drunken or a dope addict who is ruling the head of the body. The body is ruling because the head didn't do the right thing. So the body took over saying, let me help you get what you deserve. I'm a philosophical thinker. If I told you what I'm thinking about right now, it might be too much for you. The body is always greater than the mind. You think you're greater than the body. No. The body is always greater than the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body to fulfill all your aspirations. Whether you want to realize it, it is already proven for you. Provided for you, pardon me. The capacity of your human body, you will never realize the full capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your human body. So your body is always greater than you, but it is made your servant. Isn't that wonderful that God gave me something superior to my own ability, but he put it at my service? Didn't God tell the angels to bow to Adam? Quran Surah 2, Ayat 34, we are told that the angels uphold the heavenly order. They keep the order of the universe. Quran Surah 69, Ayat 17. But he told the angels to bow to Adam. Why? To bow to a person. No, bow to God's will. Bow to God's purpose. Bow to God's plan. My plan is in Adam. Bow to my plan. Bow to him. But Adam by himself, the angels would not bow to him. Maybe they would throw him in the toilet. But because he was created for God's will and purpose and fulfill God's plan, Adam is elevated a little above the angels. He didn't assign that responsibility to angels. So this is just like we African Americans. The white man had had us ever since he brought our parents from Africa. He had us in his control and in his world, right? So really he was beneath him. We were beneath him. But if God's purpose is to rise us up to his equal or above him, there is nothing he can do about it. But without God, we can't rise up. We'll never rise up to his equal, above him without God's help. God raises you up above your body. So that is the way it is for your body. Your body is superior to you, but God raises you up above your body. Well, without God, you are always below your body. That is why the angels did not want to submit to a mortal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wait until I have inspired him and given to him of my own self, ruhi, of my own spirit. And in another place it says, of himself. Then you make sajda to him. Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 28-31. So what is God saying? The reality of man, you are looking at now, your angels does not justify you making sajda to it. So I'm not going to impose it upon you now. But there is going to come a time when man is going to accept my will and receive something of my own self, of my own spirit. Then you make your sajda to him. Then you bow to him to full submission, in full submission. Why would an angel make sajda? Sajda is for human beings, isn't it? So when we make sajda, we put heads, knees, and toes on the ground, showing that we return to the crawling state of the little baby, the toddler or the infant. We go back down on the ground like the animals who were brought up from off of his form. So we go back down on our hands and knees to return to the state that we were in before I could stand up. Why would God tell an angel to do that? I leave that for you to think about. Sleep is symbolic of secret knowledge. Pardon me. Sheep is symbolic of secret knowledge. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayat 21-30. David judged argument over the sheep. 2 Samuel 12:3-9. David judged argument over sheep. 2 Samuel 11:2-5. Bathsheba, David sought her. So the fruit of Islam sought for foreign rulers. Let me tell you what is going on right now in the minds of the leading thinkers in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, Palestine, wherever they are learned elite. Here is what is going on in their minds now. Before I'm giving you this, after they saw the Nation of Islam, their mind of Mr. Farad had a trick and a strategy to attract the black-minded people to him, to believe in him and accept him. He worked on them and put them in the situation to be strongly interested in the Quran and wants to be connected to the Islamic world. They are right up to that point. He put a hint there for us that he planted the garden for us to reap a harvest, the fruit. So let us go get our Nation of Islam. So let's get our own lost and found Nation of Islam. Let us go and get our property. You know, it is not true, but Mr. Farad said other things too. Makes even later ones think maybe that that was a possibility. He talked about coming alone. He said, my name is W.D. Farad. I came to the wilderness of North America by myself, alone. So he's speaking independently, as though he did it all by himself. And in another place, he says, 24 scientists met in Mecca. And the root of civilization concerning this is to discuss our situation, lost foundation of Islam in the wilderness of North America, that they must return to their own. So they say that those people are lost from their religion now, 24 scientists, and we must get them back to Islam, into Islam. So he gave the picture also like he was just one amongst others, at least the 23rd or the 24th. One, and he was just one amongst peers, not a god over them, because he did not decide, the story says, and they decided to send one of them to our reef, to our rescue, and that was Mr. Farah, to send one of them over here for us. So here now, the man with so many different pictures and so many different decoys to take you off of the track, and it is for them. So when they read that, it's telling them that it is not a god. He is not presenting himself as any god here. He is telling them that really leaders in Islam and Mecca, Arabia, and decided to send help to them, is telling us, brothers, we are supposed to reap our reward. He planted this. He planned this for us. He planned to give them into our hands as our fruit. There is our fruit, brothers. So in Islamic teaching, there is a word that is translated sheep. It's not ordinary word for sheep. It is the word for sheep that you are eating off of the plate. Like we say, we're eating lamb. We don't say we are eating sheep. They're the same. We say we are eating beef. We do not say we're eating cow, but aren't they the same? So they have also another word for sheep in the Quran. It makes this sheep lawful to the believer. So the Muslim sheep is lawful for you to get it. So this is secret knowledge or sprouted knowledge. It is dressed up so that the average person will never know what it's talking about. 2 Samuel 11:14-18, David had General Kill front line. He plays on Bathsheba. So it says that they are entitled, yes, permitted. Then, and the people that is being spoken to are those who God is really not pleased with. And he is cautioning them that you are taking too much and you are asking for too much and words to say. These are my words, but nevertheless, giving you the right understanding and picture for this particular problem that we are looking at right now. God permitted them the sheep. They are not called sheep. They are called by another name. I don't know if they know, but God has blessed me to know that this same sheep has reference to previous scripture, the prophet David. In the Bible was questioned and condemned for having plenty of sheep, and he went out after another sheep, Bathsheba. He had plenty of sheep. Now he goes out and deceives Bathsheba's man. This is one of David's generals. And David sees her in the shower from his palace. And he falls in desire for her. I won't say love. Now he wants her so bad, he sends the general out that she was liking to the front of the wall to get him killed. And did get him killed. Now you know, The Quran does not have these kind of ugly things associated with prophets or charged to prophets, but this is in the Bible. So when the general is dead, he takes Bathsheba. She becomes his woman. And is God rebuffing him? Bathsheba is called a sheep. He gives a parable of a man having plenty of sheep and his friend having but one. And he goes out and plots the murder of his friend to get his friend's sheep. So this is in the Bible. This permission to have your sheep is a correction, preaching on that problem. The Quran addresses previous problems. So you are entitled to your sheep, but your sheep, not somebody else's sheep. So God is saying you are entitled, but to your sheep, not to some sheep that is not yours. But they will say, all sheep in our name, names of Muslims, is our sheep. Was not David a general? And was not Bathsheba his general's woman? So he was then in his same society, wasn't she? So Bathsheba from outside David's people. At that time, she was in his society. But how did she get in his society? She was from outside, and now she has become the wife of the general and his society. So this is how she came into the society, right? So you're following me? So for him, we don't care if we are in Islam. Where did we come from? We came from outside of Islam and was brought into Islam. We came from outside of their name and language and religion. And we were brought inside by one of them. In the event, General Mr. W.D. Farrar. And here they are, David back home, wanting to take us from Mr. Farrar. And they are happy to see me. Kill Mr. Farrar is God amongst us. They are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar, but they are going to reap the spoils of the war, and they are going to get their fruit of the labor. Well, I have news for them. There is no sheep. There never was any sheep. We were donkeys, and we have seen an angel with a flaming sword, and we are not donkeys anymore. We are speaking back with a man's voice. We are telling Baal to get off of our back. So just be aware that you, brothers, who don't know what I know, cannot protect this community. You can't guide this community. You must take a stick and whip your own behind until you get yourself to obey the leadership and guidance that God has blessed us with. Deviant minds can't distinguish between harm and good. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayat 56 to 57, tell extreme hot and cold. The Quran, Surah 101, Ayat 101 to 3, what is the noise? The Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 4, made their evil deeds fair-seeming. So we are created to know the difference between harm and help. We realize, so this thing is hurting me or harming me. This thing is helping me. All of us are created with that common sense to know that. But the intellect or the rational mind can pursue something to an extent that its own nature, the nature of the mind, changes. And it's no longer can distinguish between harm and help. Muslim world leaders have become misguided, fixated. It no longer can distinguish between disease and health. It no longer can distinguish between evil and good. It reaches that extent by pursuing something that is against its own human nature. If the thing that is pursued is against its own human nature, it will eventually take it out of its human nature. And you will then perceive evil as good. You will perceive hate as love. You will perceive sickness as health. You will perceive stupidity as wisdom, etc. So this is what has happened to much of the leadership in the Muslim world. The Muslim world leadership has become fixated. They are just compelled to dwell on the ugly West. The ugly West, the cruel West, and dwelling on that generation after generation has taken them out of their human nature. Now, when they read the Quran, it does not guide them except deeper and deeper into their deviation, more and more into their deformity. Hellfire twists and subjects out of their form. So hell, extreme, hot and cold. So the fires of hell are so severe, twists things out of form. On some things, hell has the effect of freezing them to a certain extent. It breaks up the body. So this is the Quran. And I can go on and on and on describing to you what the Quran says happening to you when you continue to go astray from the beautiful creature Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to be. In concluding this part of the khutbah, I want to say to you that if you understand your religion and if you accept the way I have presented it to you, you'll understand your religion. If you understand your religion, you are in a very, very excellent condition to go after the best life for yourself, frightening others, people, and making them fear that what you are after is going to take their good life from them. If you go as I have shown you with the light of the Quran and Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, you are going to be successful anywhere you live in any nation, even with those who oppress. What I have shown you is the light of al-Islam, and the light of al-Islam is also the light of wisdom. You will have the wisdom to survive even the environment of the oppressors. You will not be shamed by the learning. I don't care where they come from or what their religion is. If you keep the mind that I'm presenting to you, that is the Muslim mind with al-Islam, illuminating it, you are in the best light. And you are situated for the best future on this earth and after. Return to wrath, not to turn to God. The Quran, Surah 89, Ayah 27, return to your Lord pleasing and pleased. Dear believers, there is a verse in the Quran that I mentioned on the Larry King show, and this verse tells us everything we need to know. Yes, it does, to situate our life to go forward and achieve what we have been created to achieve. If we would just accept it, what this verse says, the one portion of the ayat, it says, O soul at rest, mutamanina, mutamanina is the Arabic term. O soul at rest, at peace, that's what it means. Find peace. Return to your Lord. Return to God. But why didn't it just say, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It said, return to your Rabb, the Lord, because the attribute of God, as you recognize God as the one who has created you from growth to growth until you reach fulfillment or completion. He has all the time right there with you. Though you didn't know it, waiting for you to earn his special help, to keep you going from one progress to another progress, or from one phase in the road of your progression to another so that you get to that end goal complete as God wants you to be. That's what it means by Rab, Lord. Return to your Lord. How? Pleasing, redayin. Pleasing him. That means you have been making an effort in your life to please the best. And certainly the best is God, isn't it? But even if you do not know God, you would just do what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, did before God revealed anything to him. That is, not to deviate at all from the effects to please the best in your own nature created by God. So God is really just salvation. If we would know God, then we will fulfill our life. The life becomes complete. So this means that the believers have been striving to please his Lord. In Quranic Arabic, it is radayatin, madiyatin. Both these words are from the same root word. The one is a verb in the active present tense and future tense. The believer is striving to please his God. So that is his position that he took in life. And he will keep striving to please his Lord because you have been striving to please your God. You are pleasing to yourself. Radayatin madiyatin means pleasing your God and self-please. So what is this saying to us? What does God say? Fakuli fidin ibadi. Fakuli fi ibadi. Enter you amongst my workers, my servants. And it also means enter you amongst my worshippers, amongst my servants. Then it says, Wakuli jinati. And therefore enter you my garden of paradise. Now, Jannati, God's garden of paradise. What is God's garden of paradise? A garden is something that needs cultivating. A garden suggests that care is given it, and it is developed, it is cultivated, and it has been made beautiful because of the work on it or the work for it. To keep it like that, you have to continue to work. It says, enter you amongst my workers. It is a garden. It is God's garden. And in the Hadith Qudsi collection, which means God inspired this, in the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, Qudsi means holy, and it is believed that God inspired Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to say those things. They were not just ordinary conversations of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. I believe this is one of them. Qudsi, land you cannot plow. He said that there is a piece of land that no one is to come into with their plow to pry it or to work in it. It is reserved exclusively for God. That is the sanctuary of the human spirit and soul that is supposed to know right from wrong. In fact, it always knows right from wrong. That sanctuary of the human spirit and soul, God says this is for him to apply or to cultivate only. You may not know how to solve the problem of the world, like Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He was a complete human being, but he did not know how to solve the problems of the world. Not even the problem of the peninsula called Arabia now. It took second portions of God's mercy, revelation from himself, communication, guidance, knowledge, teaching from himself to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to situate Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him to lead the people into that beautiful community, life without problems that man will have. Without the guidance of God, first and second mercy of God. God says, O soul at rest, who have found peace, return to your Lord pleasing and please. If you strive to the best that is in you, when you get help from God and you keep that, don't stop that. The religion is to continue that. The religion is to complement. The religion is to complement that. The religion is to give that additional help, not to go after against it, pattern on that which the human society has been patterned upon. You don't reject the first mercy. If you do, then you have nothing to put the second mercy upon. You have the pattern to adjust the next mercy to. The next mercy has to be patterned or filtered and adjusted to the first mercy. You see now how people have bad Islam and good Islam, human Islam and demonic Islam. You see how they can have that when they don't pattern it to the best of the human nature that God created. Everything is law. So if you just remember that God is saying to you, I created you with a nature to go after the best. And if you do that, if you go after the best when you get God's help, you are going to please me and you are going to also be pleasing to yourself. So what is the requirement for me? Having my own life satisfying me where I'll be pleased with it or satisfied. I have given it to you plainly. Enter you my paradise. So look at the language. Jannati is the garden of man's own spiritual creation. Wakuli jannati. The same sound that I make when I say my garden, meaning God's garden. If I say my garden of paradise, I say the same word, jannati. But when the proposition goes before garden in Arabic, grammar, it changes. Jannatun to jannati. And the jannati is a hint that man, you're only entering your own garden. It is the garden of your own spiritual creation. Allahu Akbar. We have been blessed, not just in Ramadan, we have been blessed all along the road of our trials and tribulations, our hits and misses, but the road of our good intentions, we have been blessed. So Quran Surah 39, Ayat 5, Allah wants servant he creates. Well, then how did we get here? We may say, he says that whenever he wants one of us, he creates us. He is our creator, and I don't think that the concept is really different from the concept in Judaism or in Christianity. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 6, three vows of darkness. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 6, three vows of darkness. He makes you in the womb of your mother in stages one after another in three veils of darkness. Let's get back to what we are talking about. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we came out of triple darkness. The physical world is a womb, and we know that it is the physical world that blots out light. We know that all darkness is a shadow of something physical. So we know that, all right. So we come out of the physical womb, which is darkness. It is a physical darkness. We come out of this, but we are the same germ that existed in it, origin. We are not permitted to know just how the womb was and just how we were formed in it. We are not permitted to know that. We are just permitted to come out of it. As I come out of it, we are permitted to gradually grow into wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of it, not to go back and see how it was made, but to improve upon what we found. Isn't this a wonderful God? He doesn't want us backing up. It takes too long to back up in time, the beginning, and spread our time looking at what was done. It was done in the beginning. He did it rightly. He did what he had to do. He did his job well. We don't have to back up in time and review what he did. That will hold us up. He wants us to take over from here and keep going. So he won't even let us see he was doing, see what he was doing, knowing that we are weaklings to begin with. I want to connect myself with a voice that I hear speaking behind the sunlight. I want to connect myself with a voice that I hear speaking beyond the ocean, waves behind the trembling of the earth, behind the falling of the rain, behind the accumulation of ice, behind the coming of water, summer, spring, and fall. I sense that there is something speaking to me behind these things that I am anchoring, to. With trillions and trillions and trillions of years of separation have made me dull to the understanding the language of my origin. So we rise above the matter with new matter, the birth of the original man into physical creation, and then another birth of the original man out of the physical creation tells us something. We were brought out of triple darkness. The first was darkness. The second darkness was darkness. One of those darkness is the material of physical creation. We come up out of it. Every man is born out of this physical world, womb of darkness, with no knowledge of the womb, come here. And the head is large and heavy. Sometimes it takes 2-3 months before it can lift the head up. The physical world is a womb, and it blocks out light. All darkness is a shadow of something physical. We come out of the womb with the darkness, but we are the same germ that exists in its origin, but we are not permitted to know just how the womb was and how we are formed in it. We are permitted to come out of it, then we are permitted to grow in knowledge of it, not to go back to see how it was made, but to improve upon what we have found. This world is akin to me. My flesh feeds upon it. My flesh is another form of this earth. I discovered I am a creature superior to the food that I eat. I have a hunger for more than beans, rice, meat, etc. Have a hunger for the connection, for a reunion. I want to connect myself with a voice I hear speaking behind the sunlight, ocean, falling rain. I sense there's something speaking to me behind these things, akin to me. But trillions of years of separation have made me dull to understanding the language of my origin. So we rise above the matter with new matter. We rise and stand over common matter and walk on the earth like a ruler. He failed to come alive to his being, that he is not just simple matter. He is not creation. Earth, not subject, not limited to creation, but created to rule, expand, extend, explore creation as a man opening up a gigantic book. Salakallahu ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it please God. We thank New Africa, excellent Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.